Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, Teron.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. Another week, another opportunity to get in this studio and talk some shop. I am Teron Davenport. Behind the glass, working the switches, is Calvin Smith. We are a buy one, get one free team. You get us both. I'm looking forward to this show. We have some outstanding guests. Noah Igbinoghene. Yes, yes, yes. I am showing off. So what? But Auburn Corner, number four in your program. Definitely make sure you check him out. We got him coming on. We have the big fella, Alex Taylor, out of South Carolina State. Folks, 6'8", 300-plus pounds, and has the nerve to be able to move like a little guy. He's someone that's going to be showing up in a lot more of these mock drafts as they continue to expand. He's someone that's going to continue to develop more talk along the draft Twitter side of things. So it's my pleasure to bring him aboard and get him on the show. We also have Eno Benjamin, Arizona State running back, outstanding player himself. I have to just smile at the collection that we are continuing to accumulate. But before we get into everything with our guests, I want to just touch on some of the things that are happening with this team, the Tennessee Titans, after all. And we have some things going on with the coaching staff, right? So it's taking shape, I guess you could say. You have Mike Vrabel, who's going to be more involved with the defense. He's going to be, in effect, calling the plays. Dean Pease has retired, which has opened up the opportunity for Vrabel to do that. Then you have inside linebackers coach Jim Haslett coming aboard. He'll be the veteran, the guy for Mike Vrabel to sit down with and go over game plans. I think it's going to be a very collective effort. You're going to see Shane Bowen involved. You're going to see Terrell Williams involved. You're going to see another addition that came aboard, Anthony Midget, a guy who Vrabel worked with together in Houston. I think that's a little bit of a theme that we have working with this whole thing when we look at how this whole picture has come together, right? Vrabel played for Jim Haslett in Pittsburgh. He has familiarity. He coached with Midget in Houston. It's a part of what he's looking for, that continuity, right? And another thing that Vrabel has said consistently is having everyone deliver the same message. That's a big thing as far as what they're looking to do as a coaching staff, and it's something that happened effectively last year. One of the things that made it happen effectively, though, was what? Number 26, Logan Ryan. And I tell you, it's going to be really interesting seeing how this free agency thing works out. I am on record saying I believe Jack Conklin will be the first one to sign. I think if he doesn't sign, I think either way, the decision on Jack Conklin will be the first one to happen. Because Conklin, I think, is going to be one of those 1201. Remember when it used to be at midnight, that's when you were able to sign contracts. And you would have contracts signed at 1201, you know, 1 minute into free agency, a $60 million deal was worked out in a minute. Yeah, okay. So to alleviate for that, they started the legal, air quotes, tampering period. I think one of the first deals to happen is going to be that Jack Conklin one. So I got a little bit off topic as far as the message coming from Mike Vrabel. But that being said, Conklin, Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and Logan Ryan, these are the big fish for the Titans as far as their internal free agents are concerned. I want to see how it all works out because they're going to need another guy to help deliver that message. And obviously Kevin Byard, Kenny Vaccaro, these are options, Jarrell Casey. So we'll just see how the defensive thing really takes its shape. I wanted to just kind of get into that a little bit, just share my thoughts on how I see this thing happening. But, man, I know a lot of people have doubts, you know, because the Titans, you know, hired a guy who was the Texans' secondary coach, and the Texans weren't that good secondary-wise. I know a lot of people have doubts because of Vrabel's one season as DC in Houston. It wasn't exactly the best. I say let's just see how it happens, right? Let's just see how it works out. Because complaining about it isn't going to change what is in place. And you saw what happens when you let things work out last year. Because obviously Arthur Smith was an unproven commodity. And look how he's done. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break, bring these guests in. Before we do, you know what you got to do. Subscribe. iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Talking with TD. You want this type of content, you could get it. Only if you subscribe. I would also, I'm sitting here holding my cup. Spare change, please. Spare change. 5 stars, please. 5 stars. If you could give us that 5-star rating, that would be awesome as well. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back with Alex Taylor, a guy who could come in and play right tackle if need be. He could play left, too. We'll be right back.
I love it when you call me Big Pop.
All right, keeping it going, talking with TD, the draft series continues. You hear the music. I love it when you call me Big Papa. Like, listen, man, I'm 6 feet, 200, so I can't really, you know, account for that. But our next guest, he definitely can. He stands at 6'8", 310, 308 pounds. Alex Taylor, this is a guy you're going to hear a lot about. Left tackle, right tackle, coming out of South Carolina State. Alex, what's good, man?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really well, man. No bad days. That's how I call it. I wanted to get you on just because I was impressed with you at the Senior Bowl. I watched some of your games, you know, on film. And, man, you're a big fella, but you move really well. What is behind that, the athleticism that you bring to the tackle position, being a guy that's 6'8"?
I mean, shoot. Well, coming from a basketball side, you know, I played basketball most of my life, so. The transition from basketball just helped me move into football because you got to be quick on your feet. So I'll say that's definitely a big part that played mostly.
So it pretty much boils down to the footwork that you've pulled from basketball. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I mean, basketball, of course, footwork, got to have good footwork coming in as an offensive tackle because your feet will put you in the right position no matter if your hands aren't good, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and so, folks, just to put this in perspective, Alex averaged 28 points in high school his last year playing basketball. So we are talking to a guy that did excel on the basketball court. As far as switching to football, like, what was behind that? How did that process happen?
Well, I mean, shoot, you know, I didn't start playing until my junior year, so really my senior year, kind of. That's when I started on varsity, but I mean, my dad's side was mostly the football side of the family. So it was always the coaches would see me and be like, you sure you don't want to come play football? Give it a try.
Right.
So I was just like, one day I was like, most of my homeboys played football. So I was just like, you know, I'm going to go give it a try. And then when I got out there, I was pretty good. And then it just started to click. And then I was going full time since.
So your dad's side, is that where Joey Hamilton and Pearson Priolu, is that where those relatives is on your father's side?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Have you gotten to talk to, I mean, I'm sure you have, what are some of the things, like, have you gotten to pull anything from them, you know, having gone through the process already?
Yeah, I talked to my uncle, Pearson, when I was at the Senior Bowl. He called me, like, I think it was the first day before the first practice. You know, he was just trying to pick my brain, seeing how I was, asking if I was nervous. He just told me, you know what I'm saying, just go out there and play your game, you know. And they enjoy the process, too, but just out there show them that, you know what I'm saying, you coming from a small school, but you can play with anybody, so.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Coming from the MEAC, okay, you know, we're talking SC States. Obviously, Darius Leonard, you know, is going to be mentioned. Yeah. But then you look at other players from the conference, right? Javon Hargrave, he came in and he did really well for the Steelers. You know, Brandon Parker, Titus Howard, to mention guys that played your position. Going into the Senior Bowl, I'm sure there was an amount of pride that you carried, but What was it that allows you to level up? Because you had some really good reps in one-on-one. And I was definitely, I was telling Calvin, my producer, how impressed I was with the way you sunk your hips at times. And you just really, like, you got your hands on them and they weren't going anywhere. So what was it that went into, you know, the degree of pride that you took to the Senior Bowl?
Well, I mean, shoot. Like I said, I felt like I had a chip on my shoulder coming in from the jump. So I just wanted to go. I mean, at the end of the day, they're human. They're men just like me.
There you go.
They just went to a bigger program that had a different name on their front of the jersey. But, I mean, shoot, I was just coming in there, playing my game. Of course, you know, trying to develop the little things, you know, staying low, obviously, because I'm so tall. You know, but most of the time, it was just me talking to myself in my head, like, man, this ain't nothing. Like, they men just like you at the end of the day. So,
you're not
trying to get intimidated.
You listen to B.I.G.?
Oh, of course.
Hey, you know what he said. I'm not
type of guy at first, but, you know.
He said they bleed just like us, right?
Uh-huh.
That's really what it boils down to. So my question to you is, why will you be the next guy out of the MEAC to find success in the league?
Shoot, I mean, I feel like you said, I feel like I bring something to the table a lot of offensive tackles don't. A lot of the time, and I bring athleticism. You know what I'm saying? I could bring the nastiest. And I just feel like I'm a finesser type of athlete because nowadays these DMs are becoming smaller, more quicker, more, you know what I'm saying, good with their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And the bigger offensive tackle kind of, I'm not saying they're losing, but you know what I'm saying, be able to develop your game. And I just feel like, you know, I'm doing a great job at it.
You ever watch King Dunlap play?
It's crazy because somebody told me that I kind of reminded them of that, so I actually tried to look up some YouTube videos of him, and I saw a little bit, but not too much.
Yeah, and I bring that up because, you know, obviously the size, and one of the things that he worked on, you know, was leverage and pad level. How is that process coming along for you?
I mean, shoot, well, obviously I'm just trying to strengthen my lower body, you know, legs, because at the end of the day, the squatting and staying low all comes from your quads, hammies, your hips, so I'm really just trying to just develop my strength, my lower body strength.
Gotcha. And I watched Riddell. He was live on IG earlier, and I saw you getting the curls in, too. You working on that beach body, huh?
Oh, yes, sir. You know it, man. I'm just trying to get that, the little stuff, man, trying to get right.
So it's clear, you know, you're working with a guy who's going to help you out, you know, from the athleticism side of things. Mm-hmm. Why is it that you're so fit for a zone scheme?
To be honest, that's just mostly what I grew up in, what I came into high school when I first started. It was zone. And then coming into college, we started off as a zone, but we went more to like a read option, kind of zone option team. So, I mean, I feel like I move good, real good on outside zone, reaching the ends, and inside zone, cutting them off sometimes backside. So,
what about, you know, reaching the ends and then working your way to the – or reaching – you know, and working your way to the second level of the defense, what goes into being able to settle down and not whiff when you're blocking these smaller linebackers?
I mean, to be honest, something that I have really just learned over the last couple of weeks is staying square.
Mm.
Like, going up to the second level, instead of just trying, you know, getting your body all out of whack, you want to square them up when it comes to going to the second level. You don't want to always rush. You make sure you get your hands on them first because 9 times out of 10, they're not trying to take on somebody of this size, so they're more good with their hands, trying to, you know, shock and shed.
And
I mean, just staying square.
And that's the thing. It's all about who gets who first.
Yeah,
you have 36-inch arms, 88-inch wingspan. Like, you could probably tie your shoes standing up. So let's talk about that. How does that help you as a guy, you know, playing in the trenches?
I mean, shoot, definitely. Coming off, the pass game for instance. Just being long in my long arms is I can touch the ends before they even think about making the move or before they're used to getting touched. You know what I'm saying? So when I come out and they come out, I really can almost reach them with one step. So they're just not used to it. So I feel like, and that's a big part of my game.
As far as playing left or right, What's the difference in your mind, or even is there a big difference in playing left or right tackle?
I mean, to be honest, they always say, you know, the better DNs go over the left side, but a lot of the times now, like, the league is changing so much to where it's great DNs on both sides of the ball, so both tackles got to really be good. But at the end of the day, I feel like it's really no different. It's just, you know, one side is the blind side, and they're going to put more on you. But other than that, I don't see any difference in between playing. For me, I'm just more comfortable playing the right position because that's what I've been playing for so long. But I can play a left two if I need to.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I feel like both positions have extreme value now because not only do you have guys on both sides, but you take a Khalil Mack, you line him up on the left side, guess where else he'll line up? On the right side. So either way, you're going to have to see him at some point. So that's an excellent point. When you're talking to the guys down there at the Senior Bowl, the personnel folks, what was some of the feedback that they gave you? Because, I mean, I want to put size and athleticism. I'm going to put that aside. The size is obvious. Athleticism is obvious when watching you. But what are they telling you as far as our positives that, you know, they like about you?
I mean, shoot, they like the way that I took coaching.
Okay.
Obviously, you know, I got better. They saw that I was consistently getting better each day. And, you know, just the way I was playing, not showing that I was nervous or just scared to be out there. You know, I was actually comfortable. So,
did you find yourself having, because, you know, you're going into there with a chip on your shoulder. You want to show what's up, right? Did you find yourself having to kind of scale yourself back? Because, you know, they say football, you play it aggressively, but if you're over-aggressive, you're going to get embarrassed. That didn't happen to you. So how did you keep those two things in balance?
I mean, you got to know, like I said, I'm just a laid-back type of guy, but you got to know when to turn it on and be able to when to dial it back. So there's certain times where you feel like you've got to be aggressive and you got to jump somebody or just – in certain positions, you got to do it. But other times, like you said, you have to scale it back because sometimes that aggression can get the best of you.
And last question, Alex. Combine time. What are you looking to show when you go out there? What's the big thing for you that you want to make sure that everyone comes away understanding and remembering about you?
I mean, shoot, to be honest, just go out there and just have some good times and just go out there and do the best that I can and just show that I'm here to be the next best tackle coming into the league. So there you go.
There you have it right there. Short but sweet. You know, I will be the next best tackle coming into the league. That's what Alex Taylor said to you. He's a big guy, athletic guy too. So, folks, make sure you definitely stay tuned to what he's going to be doing throughout the process. Alex, I appreciate you. Like some of the other guys, I will see you in Indy. I look forward to it, and just enjoy the process, man. Before you know it, you're going to be in a new city, and everything is going to be everything, man. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
So that was Alex Taylor, 6'8", 308 pounds. Left, right tackle, South Carolina State. We're going to go to a break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to stay on the offensive side of things. We got Eno Benjamin, running back, Arizona State. We'll be right back. Back from the break, talking with TD. You know how we do. We just keep it rolling and rolling and rolling. My goal, folks, is to bring you all of the positions, different prospects that I feel will work for the Titans, and also just different prospects overall. You heard the music is all about the Benjamins. We're going to bring in a guy with that very last name, Arizona State running back / playmaker, because that's what he does. Eno Benjamin, what's up, man?
How's it going, man? Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
For sure. I'm excited to have you, you know what I mean? We had to, you know, get your last name intro the right way. I want to get right into it. And we talk about just your name, right? Eno.
Yep. Yes,
but
sir.
Your full name has a meaning, right? Can you tell the folks what your – because Eno is short for something – what is Eno short for?
Eno is short for Anatoban, which is a Nigerian name, which means God's gift. At the time, while I was in the hospital, my mother told me the story that she wanted me to go ahead and be named Lawrence Jr. after my father. But my dad said no, that this was the name that God told him to give to me. And so far it's been working out, God's gift. And so I'm living by that.
Man, that's so... that's cool as heck, man. I like that. And then when you look at your brother, his name is, how do you pronounce your brother's name?
My older brother's name is Uvon.
Right.
And that's glory of God. That means glory of God.
And it's interesting how both of those come together, right? Because from what I understand, your brother is your motivation. And you're using God's gift, which is your ability to play football, to fulfill your motivation. I thought that was pretty cool. Why is your brother your motivation, though?
Really, he was the one who basically set the foundation. Growing up, I was always a guy watching him play and always supporting him. And so I never knew that this could be me in his shoes and me in the shoes that I am in, fulfilling my destiny. And so he's the one who kind of said, like I said, set the foundation. And so things didn't necessarily work out for him. It wasn't his calling to pursue a sports career. And so it was kind of my motivation just to get to where we both wanted to go. And so that's kind of what I've been using to lead us or lead me into what I'm doing.
And there were other sports that you played besides or even before football. What were those sports, and then what led into you wanting to eventually play football?
So I was a soccer guy. I grew up playing soccer. That was my first sport. I even played soccer throughout my sophomore year before I finally settled down and was thinking, okay, football is really what I wanted to go and pursue my career after. And I think just really after that, it was just more so being from Texas, everyone played football and everything was about football. And so all my friends were playing football. And so it was something that I did for fun. I remember when I was younger telling myself I'd never played football in my life. And here I am. And so it's just one of those things where I thought it was fun and it was easy to me and it came easy to me. And so that's kind of what pursued me to go ahead and keep playing it. And here I am today, like I said.
Now, how did you end up at Arizona State? Because I thought that was an interesting story as well.
Yeah, I grew up in Texas my whole life. And so I've always wanted to get out of the state of Texas because I feel like when you're away from the people that you depend on the most is where you really find out the most about yourself, as well as where you grow. And so just throughout the whole recruiting process, it's always been in my mind to get out of the state of Texas. And I took a couple visits around, and Arizona had the perfect situation, I felt like, for me. They had two veteran senior running backs who I thought I can go and sit behind and learn from 1 year and then go ahead and have the opportunity to compete for a starting opportunity or a starting job, and that's exactly what I did.
And one of those veterans, obviously, is Kalen Ballage. Have you gotten to talk to him just as far as – and I actually saw him play live. I saw – was that 2016, the game against Washington. Definitely outstanding player. But have you gotten to talk to him as far as, like, what this process would be like and just kind of get advice from him?
Yeah, they always say, just everyone in this or who's been through the situation, they say the rookie year is the longest and the hardest. One of those things where you've got to keep your head down and focus. That's one of the main things Kalen has been preaching to me, even while we were at school together. He was saying that your opportunity is coming. And so patience is one of those things that I really learned, being a highly recruited running back, 4-star, having to sit behind. And so these are kind of those situations that I'm prepared for, and I felt like I've sat and I've done it, and I've been able to do whatever I need to do to help the team succeed in every aspect.
And then along with that at Arizona State, and it's funny because anytime I compose a tweet, and if it's something that is questionable, you know what rings in my ears. Don't push send. Edwards. So I have to ask you, what was that like being able to be under his tutelage? Because he seems like he would be an awesome guy to be around.
Just after hearing, or he got hired after my first year. And so just knowing just a little bit about Herm, just knowing he came from a military background, he was an NFL coach. So I was a bit skeptical at first. I didn't know how it would go. So just based off of that, in our first meeting is when he kind of set the tone of how he wanted to run the program and how he was going to run the program. And it turned out really well. He was a player's coach from the beginning. And the main thing that I thought brought people and made them like Herm was just the fact that he was able to let the players be themselves. Herm wasn't really much of a rule guy. He was more of a standard. And so the biggest thing for him was be on time and be where you're supposed to be. And everything after that, you're allowed to do whatever you want. He'll treat you like grown-ups. Be a professional. He'll treat you like that. And so I think the players really gravitated towards that, like I said, and it just made people want to play for him even harder and more.
And the thing that's interesting about Herm is his approach to media. Now, obviously, he was in the media working for ESPN before he got this job, but it seems like he would allow you guys to be exposed to the media. Is that something that has kind of helped you as you're going through this process of becoming a guy who's an NFL prospect and a guy who NFL reporters like myself are speaking to?
Yes, sir. He's just really preparing you for the real world. Some people like to have rules as far as not being on social media during the season and stuff like that, but when you get to the NFL, those are things that you're not going to be prepared for when the time comes. And so I felt like the whole staff has done a great job in preparing us for these types of moments and has preparing everyone well for the future.
And then to spin it forward to the Senior Bowl. Actually, you know, before we go there, you got your degree in marketing. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah, my degree is in marketing, too. As you could tell, I'm not using it. But you have started to use yours already with your merchandise. Let's get into that. Let the folks know about that.
Yeah, yes, sir. And so, I mean, really just sports business with a little bit of a focus on marketing. And so I kind of really wanted to get into that just because I wanted to have knowledge for the situation myself as I furthered myself in my career. I'm as far as being able to know what to do with my money because a lot of players in the NFL go broke, and so that's one thing that's always stuck in my mind. Money or wealth management, not being able just to get the money, but also how to make it grow and last. My running back coach at the time, he always said, be able to feed your kids kids. And so that's one thing that I try to do as far as what I pursued my degree in. And then when you talk about marketing, just being able to grow your brand, that's this one thing that social media has allowed people to do. Even more so now is build your brand.
Yeah.
And this lasts a lifetime. So even while you're playing football or after football, this is something that you want to continue to pursue just to make as much money as you can to, at the end of the day, like I said, feed your kids, 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 and keep it going.
Now, a part of building that brand is phrasing, right? Like coining a phrase. And you have one, BYOB. Now, a lot of people are going to, when they hear BYOB, they think bring your own beer, but yours is different. It's bring your own blocker.
Yeah, yes, sir. That's one of the things that I like to hang my head high on is being able to make the first person miss.
Mm-hmm.
So I always told Coach to draw it up, and if there's one guy, if we could get every guy blocked, and there's one guy blocked, it's my job to make him miss. And that's what you got by – that's what I say by bring your own blocker, being able to make that first guy miss and being able to make things happen after that as well.
How was the Senior Bowl experience for you? What were some of the things you pulled out of that?
The Senior Bowl experience was a very good opportunity just for me to go out there and show that I can compete. Just I even have friends who are in the SEC, and you get that, hey, if you were playing here in the SEC, the Pac-12 week, this and that. And so I thought this was a good opportunity to go represent the Pac-12, not only the Pac-12, but my school as well. Just showing them that we're able to compete on all levels, no matter if you're playing the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, or anything. And so I think that was a great experience to go out there and do, as well as being able to meet the many different players coming around the country trying to get to this, trying to get to the same point as far as pertaining to the goal.
And I tell you, the whole thing about the Pac-12, I think, is it's a misrepresentation. There is plenty of really good football being played there. In fact, if you look at the combine, you could go in and you could sort it by conference. It goes SEC, and then the next conference with the most prospects there is the Pac-12. So speaking of the Pac-12, obviously we have the Oregon State game. Good gracious. 30 carries, though. 312 yards, 3 touchdowns. You know, we always say, myself, my guy Emory Hunt from Football Game Plan, we always say size is not a skill. And you're obviously not the biggest guy, so what is it about you that allows you to put in something like this, a 30-carry performance, and still come back the next week and do what you have to do?
I really think, just like I said, I grew up playing in Texas. So I think a lot of things are more developed and a lot faster here. That's just my opinion. I feel like, like you said, I've never been the biggest, fastest, or strongest, but I think I have the heart of a lion. And with through that determination, and just being able to do the little things as far as studying film and knowing my tendencies, my opponent's tendencies, just helps me get the advantage of playing faster and be able to do things and be places where our defenses wouldn't have never thought I would be. And just stuff like that is how I'm able to control my game and take advantage of those opportunities.
Now, last year, you cleared the 1,000-yard mark. In 18, the year before, we're talking about 1,600 yards, 9 100-yard rushing games. I watched a bunch of your games, and I saw you, you know, spin out of tackles. I saw you run through tackles. It seems like you have a really good kind of feel or eye for the end zone. Like, you have a way of getting into the end zone, especially, you know, from close. And then in addition to that, I saw you line up at the slot a lot. I say all that to say, when I watch you, a lot of times what pops out to me is a player very similar to Deion Lewis. And obviously there are other guys that you've watched. Who would you say are some guys that you've watched that, you know, have a game similar to yours or that you've pulled things from?
I would say Alvin Kamara. I love his versatility on the field. Like you said, being able to be in the backfield and being able to line up in the slot. I love watching Saquon just because of how hard he runs in the drive and his toughness to finish run. I also really love watching Le'Veon Bell as well, just because I feel like his patience is one thing that helps him be successful and knowing how blocks are going to develop before the ball is even snapped. And so those are guys that I like to watch things and implement them into my game as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then one of the most recent games I watched was your Cal game. From this past year, I actually put a little montage up on Twitter, and I said, this is a good example of what you bring to the table. One of the guys, Louis Riddick, who is an ESPN draft analyst, just NFL analyst, period, he said that you're a stud. So you definitely are drawing the good reviews. In looking at your Twitter, right, obviously you know N'Keal Harry, you have a relationship with him, but I saw you retweet a few things from A.J. Brown. This is a Titans podcast, so I got to ask you, is there a relationship there, or is it just, you know, a commonality as far as what was tweeted?
I think it was more so just a commonality on what was tweeted. I'm not sure. I think exactly what the tweet was, I think it was something about being real or just scars or something like that, and I felt that. So in this world, there's really no way of pleasing people, and so you just got to go out there and do what you can do and do what you do. And regardless of what it is, people are always going to talk. And so that was kind of what I grasped from that. There's no real relationship there, but that's one of the guys that in that draft class that I was always scouting out just because I wanted to see how him and N'Keal lined up and compared in comparison with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, N'Keal went 32. AJ Brown ended up going 51. He wanted to be a first rounder. I think it's a bright future for both of those guys. Also a bright future for you. Last question, going into the combine, what is something that you want to absolutely leave with the people that you speak to there?
Really, that like I said, that I'm a competitor. I love competing, and I'm one of those guys who is willing to do whatever that the team needs for the success of the team in all aspects of it. And so if that means going on special teams and doing whatever I have to do, I'm willing to do it.
And before we let you go ahead and give them the website they could go to check out everything that you have going on.
Yes, sir. The website is enotobong.com. That is enotobong.com.
There you go, folks. Eno Benjamin, playmaker, running back, offensive weapon. That's what we'll call him. I appreciate you, and we'll definitely make sure we link up soon. I'll check you out at the Combine, actually, later this month.
Yep, yes, sir. Sounds good. Thank you again for having me.
All right, appreciate it. So that was Eno Benjamin, running back, Arizona State. Hey, man, like we say, size is not a skill. You can measure the size, but you cannot measure the size of a person's heart. And I think Eno is a good example of that. We're going to go ahead to a break, and we're going to come back with our last final guest And that's Noah Igbinoghen. We'll be right back. All right, back from the break. You talk about paying your dues for the longest. We have a guest here who has been paying his dues, a guy who is being mocked to the Titans at pick number 29. We'll see where he goes. We got Noah Igbinoghen. Noah, what's going on, man?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. I practiced. Did I do it right?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
You did a lot of people.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So I wanted to get you on just because I watched some of your games. I've been impressed with what I've seen, you know, so I wanted to get you on. And obviously, like I said, they're mocking you to the Titans in the first round. But I want to talk a little bit about just your background, right, the athletic background. I want to start with that and your parents, right? So your mother was an Olympic sprinter. Your father was an outstanding jumper. What was it like growing up in that household?
First of all, they're both they come from Nigeria, so growing up in that household was kind of very rough. I really didn't get to do too much. I felt like I really didn't have like a normal childhood like many other people around me did, and so I'm actually glad for it now. I really did feel like a prisoner sometimes in my own house, but because the only thing I could do was play sports, and like I played soccer. And track growing up, I didn't really stop playing football until about 7th, 8th grade. And so growing up like that, I really didn't get to do too much, really was stuck in the house, really. I really had to focus on school, all those kind of things like that. So growing up, it was really rough for me in a way, child-wise. I really didn't get to do a lot of things. So my escape was sports for me, just to get out the house, stuff like that. And so it got to where I am today, though. So I'm very proud, happy for it now. And so. I've had parents like that too, though. So,
what was it that made you start playing football?
I was interested in it, 7th and 8th grade. That's in my school. That's when you could start doing it.
Okay.
And I always did soccer growing up, and so all my friends in school was doing it. So I was like, I might as well start doing it. I said I could be good at it. I played receiver though, so I didn't really start playing corner. And so, it was fun. It was fun. My 7th and 8th grade. Yeah, I wasn't really that good starting off with it though. So.
I talked to Akella Weatherspoon. He's a corner for the 49ers when he was coming out of Colorado, and he told me that he was a soccer player. And we got into just the way that helped his footwork. Now, it's interesting with you because long jump, triple jump, that's a lot of footwork too, and technical things that you have to get down. How did those two sports help you get things right, especially at corner with the footwork that you have to have?
I honestly feel like it made the transition for me better and easier. Because I improved drastically. I don't even know how I improved so fast playing corner because I've only been playing it for 2 years, a very short time. And so I really feel like soccer, because soccer is all feet. You can't use your hands.
Right.
I'm only can use the head and your feet. So that really helped me with my footwork. So just playing defense, playing offense in that sport, that really helped me. I feel like that really made my transition easier. And track, just like you said, long jump, triple jump, those are very technical things to do in the sport of track and field. And so if you get a footing wrong, then you can tear your hamstring, tear your knee up, tear your ankle up, anything in your body up doing those two events. And so I really had to get my technique down and just learning from my dad growing up, stuff like that, just how to do it. That's how I really became a technician and how I knew how to start doing things and how to put effort into things like that. And so that's exactly what I put into playing corner when I first moved over there. And so I just transitioned that technique. I learned stuff like that and how to do it. And I was able to improve in a drastic time just like I did. And so hopefully I'll be able to improve drastically going from college to NFL like I plan to do. So, yes.
One of the games that I watched was the Florida game, and there was a rep in particular where you were going against Tyree Cleveland, number 89, and he ran a curl route, and you basically ran the route for him. So the pattern match ability is there. My question to you is that something that comes from having played receiver before? Does that help you with your pattern matching?
Yes, it really does. Because the way he was running there, I could tell he was kind of – I remember the play exactly. The way he was running, he wasn't running full speed. And he's a very fast player. And so guarding him early on in the game, he was running goals and stuff like that. But it was just run plays, so he was just practicing and stuff like that. And so he was running faster then. So I could tell then he was counting the steps a little bit. So I knew it was going to be a curl. And there was in bunch formation, so I knew that he wasn't going to go – running a go from that formation. And so he ran a curl, and I was right on it, just like you said. And so he was kind of in the step. That's how I knew he was doing that route.
What was behind your switch from receiver to corner?
What made me do it?
Yes.
Honestly, it was after my freshman year, and I played receiver and kick return my whole freshman year, and played a little bit, not really that much as I wanted to. Later on in the year, we had like bowl season and stuff like that. You know, we had bowl practices and stuff like that. I felt like I was really becoming the receiver I wanted to be. Really just becoming. All my work was starting to pay off during that time. I was really catching the ball well, stuff like that, running routes well. So I was really becoming the receiver I wanted to be coming into college around that time at the end of my freshman year. So after the bowl game, we lost to UCF. And so after the bowl game, I went straight to track. And it wasn't until we started spring training. That's when the talk, I really started to have conversations about corner. So the first conversation I had, I was in the barber. My barber, he used to play football for Auburn. So we would always talk about football and stuff in the team, about stuff like that. And so I was just talking to him about my struggles. Like, I didn't really get to play as much as I wanted to, so I was kind of down a little bit my freshman year. I wasn't down too bad, but I was kind of down because I didn't play. You know, coming in as a freshman, you want to play, but that's not expected of everybody sometimes. And so he just sat me down. He was cutting my hair, and then he just said, maybe you should think about playing corner. You have all the traits for it, and I think you could do it. And so that was the first person who told me. So that's when I really started thinking about it. I was like, yeah, you're right. But I wasn't really committed to doing it at that point because I was, just like I said, I was still coming around being a complete receiver, so I was really excited about doing it. And so it wasn't second until my pastor told me about it. My pastor, because he used to play football as well, and he watched film and stuff like that. He told me something about it. So that's when I started to be like, okay, maybe this is God telling me I need to do this. Huh. And then so my third person was Coach Steele. And he, our defensive coordinator at the time, and still is now, he told me that maybe he should think I should do it. And that was three times, so it wasn't – that was three people enough. I mean, I felt like that was God telling me I needed to do this for my best benefit in life. And so I did it. And I started this spring practice. Then I was starting after, like, six practices. And so now I'm here, so I'm glad I did it.
And maybe it was God telling you to walk in your purpose, because one of your DB coaches, Marcus Woodson, I saw that he said – you were born to play corner.
Yeah.
And then even looking at one of the other games I watched, the Minnesota game, I believe it was number 13 you were running with on a deep route on that left sideline. And I like the way you angled him. It was Darrell Revis-like, right? So you kind of guided him. You ran on an angle instead of straight back, and that guided him to the sideline, eliminated that cushion. When you look at corner – who are some of the guys that you've seen in the league that have similarities or something that you've tried to pull? Because, like I said, that was Revis-like.
It's crazy you say Revis, because that's the main person I look at, especially when I really started playing corner. And even now, like, that's the person I look at the most. Like, he has a little tape on YouTube, and it's just him doing one-on-ones. I remember I used to look at that almost every day. Because at my team, we really do press. We do press, like, almost all day.
Yes.
All day in the game. And so I really had to become good at playing press. And so, but the beginning, I was so focused on being aggressive because I'm a very aggressive player. So I would only use that type of technique. And so, yeah, it would work for me at the beginning of my career. And it wasn't until like LSU this year, I really learned I had to, because I was going against the top guys then, and I really had to learn how to change things up because they weren't doing the same release for me. Like a lot of receivers I was going against was. That technique I was using, it worked for me a lot. I really didn't have to change it that much. It wasn't until probably mid this year I really had to start changing my technique and stuff like that. So I started watching the Rel Revises, the Champ Bailey, the Jalen Ramsey, the I can go down the list, Patrick Peterson, Tre'Davious White, those type of players that kind of play just like me, aggressive, but they learn how to switch things up. And so Rel Revis, he's my favorite corner of all time. I really want to – I feel like I really can – if I – put all the things I need to this game. I really feel like I can be better than him, and that's my goal at the end of the day. I know it's a big goal because he's a phenomenal player. I still watch him today, and so that's my goal. I want to be better than him someday, and so I plan to do that.
Hey, you go hard or go home, you know. And you guys have the similar, like looking at your build, the legs, right? And it gives you that low center of gravity, so I definitely see similarities there. That Minnesota game, I'm not going to leave out the 96-yard kickoff return as well.
Yeah,
so. The special teams is there. I got to ask you this, right? Have you ever raced Anthony Schwartz?
I've never raced him, but I've guarded him a lot of times. And No, he didn't run a pass. I'm like, duh. I haven't actually raced him, though, but no, he's fast. He's really fast, I'll tell you that.
So what is behind that, right? So as a receiver, right, you clearly are fast, right? So yeah. As a receiver, you know, they're going to try to run by you. Mm-hmm. Now being a corner, what is it that will keep you from panicking when you're going against a speedy guy like Schwartz or, you know, at this next level, Tyreek Hill, Marquise Brown, et cetera?
I'll say the main thing for little guys like that, because he don't really have a big build. Tyreek Hill is probably the biggest out of those that you just named. And so I would say for them, it's really about being physical, putting your hands on them, because like you said, they can run. But at the same time, I don't have to be, because I'm fast as well, and I can take the right angle and still be right there. They're not that much faster than me. And I feel like some slower corners, they have to put their hands on them or it's going to be over with. They're going to run right past them because they're so small, they can take little angles and just go right past you. And so I feel like it's a combination of being physical and mirroring at the same time. If you're fast enough to mirror, I feel like you can do it, but if not, just stick to being physical the whole game. But I still feel like you have to be physical even with that mirror. Sometimes you have to cut them off, put your hands on them. You can't just let them run past you. Like you said, the Minnesota game, when he was running that route on me, I didn't really put my hands on him that much when he was running. I didn't put my hands on him at all because I knew he wasn't faster than me, and so I knew I just had to take the angle, and he was just going to run right out of bounds. And if he was trying to get into me, all I had to do was lean and wear, and I really didn't have to do that because his foot was out of bounds the whole play, the angle I took. And if you see, I let him run past me so I could take that angle, and I just mirrored him all the way down the sideline. And so just like you said, guys like that, you have to be physical with them at the start of the play. And then take that angle, and then you cut them off. And so that'll protect you from them running past you, I think.
Very cerebral. And two things, because I know we're short on time, so I just got two questions. Who was the best, outside of Anthony Schwartz, who was the toughest guy you went against? Was it Van Jefferson?
Probably Jamar Chase.
Okay.
I really feel like he's like DeAndre Hopkins in a way.
Nice.
He's a physical receiver. I really didn't see that a lot out of receivers. The receivers I faced the last couple of years. He was the one person who got physical back with me, I would say that. So that was really – it wasn't a challenge for me, but he really had to make me change my game in a way.
Awesome. And last question. In watching you, I saw you a lot of times lining up on the left-hand side, whether it was the boundary or field side. I saw you line up on the right a few times and even in the slot. So going to the next level, obviously you're going to have to do all three. What is it about you that will allow you to do that?
You said, what is it about me that allow me to do all those things?
Right, left and right, and also bump inside and line up on those slot guys.
I can do a lot of things. I feel like I can still play receiver if I wanted to. I don't really play one side of the field. I can play left, right, nickel if I wanted to. So I feel like I can really do anything I want to do on the field. And so I feel like that's what's going to make me most versatile in the league. And because I feel like I can do this, nothing I can't do. I can play punt return, kick return, gunner, anything they need me to play, I play. And so that's how I feel like I'm one of the most versatile players in this draft. And so I think y'all soon see that.
There you have it, Noah Igbinoghene. I say this, I have a head start. If Noah comes to Tennessee, I got the head start. I'm already saying his name right. So, hey, man, I appreciate you. I see you in the combine in Indy, and you know, keep going hard. I know Riddell got you guys getting right, so I appreciate you, Noah.
Thank you.
All right. So that was Noah Igbinoghene. Like I said, folks, this is a guy that is popping up on some mocks. Now, listen, I'm not a guy who puts much stock in mock drafts, but I will say the fact that he's in that first round conversation after playing the position, as Calvin and I talked about, for 2 years, I think that's remarkable. And what you're getting here is a guy that you could just mold and make him into something really, really special, although he already is special if you watch some of his films. So we appreciate Noah Igbinoghene coming on. Shout out to Eno Benjamin, running back, Arizona State. Alex Taylor, Big Papa, offensive lineman, left, right tackle, out of South Carolina State, too, man. I love the lineup we have. We touch different bases. I appreciate each of you guys for tuning in, and girls. And we're just going to keep it rolling. Next week, we have some special guests coming for you, working on that right now as we speak. So you know how we do, man. Never stop recording. Thanks for tuning in. God bless, and good night.